Hello, everyone, and welcome to TCG News, the podcast where we talk about card game news, introduce you to new card games, as well as card games currently in development, on top of interview card game developers. I'm your host, Zyphine, and today we have a special guest. Feel free to introduce yourself, tell us your name, and what games you're currently developing.
Hi, my name's Colin. I am in a company called Extremely Average Game. The only person in it. And I am creating a game called Exaltia Trading Card Game.
Alrighty, what makes your TCG unique compared to others?
Now I can't say that I originally, like, I don't know every single TCG that's out there, but what I find that's unique with my game is that every single card is free to play. I found with a lot of games that being like mana screwed or just not having the right cards at the right time and just not having the resources was a huge issue for me. And it really made me struggle with getting into the game. So I chose to make every single card free to play. Now there are certain cards that you can't, you know, do things on, like you can't, there's certain cards you can't play on your opponent's turn and stuff like that. There's certain rules, but the free to play cards I thought was very nice. I have shield cards, which I call oracles in my game. There are other games like that, but I haven't found a game that you can choose which shield cards you play with. There's a lot of deck building in my game is built around which oracles you have. So being able to choose your own shield cards is rather nice. And lastly, attacking with dice. Now, there's a lot of games that have attacking with dice, but I don't think I've never seen one, anyways. With like you can attack from with anywhere from a D4 all the way up to a D20, and it's all luck based with a little bit of strategic deck building put in. And that's what makes my game unique.
Sounds really cool. So I got a question for that then. Are you allowed to play all cards in your hand, hypothetically, since there's no cost to playing cards, or how does that work exactly?
Yep, you can play every single card in your hand first turn if you'd like. There is a downside to that. Not having any cards in hand, you're just going to be top decking all of your cards, and you have no... Now you're just going off of luck. You have no strategy. So okay. That's why I can't stress enough to just, if you're not hurting, don't empty your hand. But there is a lot of cards in the game that allow you to draw cards, because having cards in hand is very important.
Okay. Now, since dice can hit, since creatures can hit for a max of 20, how much does a creature normally have on average with HP?
HP? Well, the way the cards work, so say I have a very weak creature and it rolls a D4. Its attack and its defense, or its health, so the attack is the damage, they're both the same, but so it has a max attack of 4 and a max defense of 4. There is no subtraction of the health. And when you attack, you cannot die on your own turn. If they're defending, they're not attacking you. So, okay. Like, say I use my D4, I roll a 4. They use a D20 creature, they roll a 1 with defending. Their D20 creature dies, my 4 lives. If it was the other way around and they were attacking me and they won, like say they rolled a 5 and I rolled a 4, their creature lives, my creature lives, we move on with our lives.
Okay, that is pretty unique, at least from what I've seen. So what exactly is your game's theme?
With my game it's a little different. Would you be able to give me an example of what a theme is? Because my game isn't, it's like an anything goes kind of deal. It ties in with the lore and stuff. I'm sure we'll go over that at some point during this.
But, so when it comes to theme, I'm thinking, like, is it high fantasy or is it like sci-fi related, you know, stuff along those lines?
I would say it's high fantasy. Yeah, it's fantasy for sure.
Okay. Now, how easy will this game to be able to pick up and just play for a new player?
It has a very small learning curve, and the only reason that is because I use unique keywords. I use unique keywords, and like each card will have at least something on it, unless there's nothing on it, unless it doesn't have an ability. But like I have things like it says entry, prevail, which entry is when it comes into play. Prevail is as long as it remains in play. There's all these little colored texts, which you can find on my website, which everything means, every single fancy word. But that's the only learning curve. Everything is very, very straightforward. A lot of people have taught people who play trading card games professionally and people who haven't played at all, and they all beat me. So it's pretty easy to learn.
All right. So essentially, you know, if they can just pick up a little rule book and skim over it, they'd be good to go?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Can you explain your game to someone who hasn't ever heard of it?
Okay. So this is lore-wise, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So a long time ago, many, many moons ago, and time is not known, there is a group of gods. And there is one god named Exaltia. He is the god of creation. And his god family do not like him, because all he does is cause chaos, because his creations destroy everything else that they've created. So what they did was they banished him to his own realm, where he would continue to exist forever and create forever. He is only there to create and cannot destroy. So he's imprisoned in his own realm of his creation. So he spends a long time there, enjoys the scenery, you know, creates some land masses, and he just basically he goes dormant. And now this race of I wouldn't say a race, but life develops on its own while he is just not doing anything. And these beings start to get very smart. And then he starts to see all the commotion going on down here. So he comes back out and sees this race of people. And he teaches them everything there is to know about the land that he created. And then they want more power. So they're learning everything about Exaltia and his realm and where they live. And it scared him, because him himself does not contain any power. He has the power to create and not to destroy. So he starts getting scared of they're called Exaltians. He gets scared that these Exaltians are going to somehow, is dethrone a word?
Dethrone? Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to dethrone him. They're going to take control of this realm, because he taught them how to create things. And so what he does is he just creates massive amounts of things from any different time and space, any like in the multiverse, anything that he thinks is fine. And he summons them all to this plane, and just war breaks out. So all these random things are just trying to destroy these Exaltians, because Exaltia, the god of creation, not the land, Oh, sorry. My heart's beating really fast. This is very exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. Long story short, I don't want to get too much. I don't want to spoil set 7 too much. Long story short, he creates massive amounts of anything to destroy his previous creations. And that's why it's always chaotic. And then these Exaltians are what he thinks is wiped out. And he just goes about his life, and he's gotten into creating things. So now he just creates, watch the chaos.
Okay. Sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I said that in a good order. I'm not very good at explaining things, but...
I think it sounded fun.
Okay, cool.
So, moving on to the next question. Would you mind giving us a rundown of how to play your card game?
How to play? Yes, sir. So let me get my my notes up here. There we go. So, before the game starts, everybody would be two people. I'm sure there's going to be a different bunch of different game types. I only have a few right now, but I would like to make a lot more. But a typical game, each player uses a deck made up of 50 to 60 cards with 3 to 5 oracles. The oracles are not shuffled into the deck. They are placed in front of you, face down, in a random order. You can have up to 3 copies of every card in your deck, minus prime rares, which are, they're just called primes, but they're a rarity. They're the highest rarity. So prime cards, you can only have 1 copy of in the deck, and I'm changing it to up to 10 prime cards in a deck. So the point and overall objective of the game is to destroy your opponent's oracles, and once they take damage directly, the game is won. And like I said before, try not to run out of cards in your hand. But if you do run out of cards from your hand and your deck, you shuffle your discard pile back into your deck, but you destroy an oracle, starting from left to right. It just helps save yourself from like running out of things to do. let's see here. Parts of a turn. So we have a maintenance phase, which is resolving any abilities. This is just before you do anything. You draw 1 card at the beginning of a turn. You start with 5 in your hand. So you don't draw your first turn, but as a typical game would be, for player that goes first doesn't draw a card. Draw a card, unless specified otherwise on a card. Then you play your spells, your creatures. You can play spells at any time during your turn, but creatures are played during your play phase. And then you battle your opponent, which I would always battle your opponent unless they have... It's like you can't die on your own attack turn unless specified otherwise on your opponent's cards. So I would usually just attack every turn. And like I said, there's another maintenance phase where you can resolve any abilities, spells, and you pass the turn on to your opponent. And this continues over and over and over again until all of the oracles are done, destroyed, and the game is won. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It sounds pretty simple.
At some point, set 7, I'm going to be doing a very big re-release, and there'll be a lot more product and a lot more better quality videos. So there's a lot of secrets going on right now, a lot of secrets.
Okay. Now for the next question, would you mind giving us ignore that. What's the hardest thing to grasp with your game, in your opinion?
I would say, honestly, it is just the keywords and abilities. because they're just unique. They're very easy to learn, but some of them, when you look at them, you just don't really understand what they mean, because there's no it doesn't explain on the card what they mean. Okay. It's all the keywords are just there to save space, so I can give creatures some cooler abilities and stuff like that. But and keywords and abilities, and just not knowing what every single card in the game does. That's it. So,
okay.
Cool. Yeah.
On average, how long does a normal game last?
With all the different game modes, I'm just gonna go with an average game. So we'll say 3 oracles, because that's a tournament style. It's just 3, so that would last anywhere from 20 minutes to 40 minutes, maybe. I'm sure people could make it a little bit less. More advanced players tend to play a little quicker, but I myself, I've played up to an hour and a half with 5 oracles.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it really depends on who you play with. I played with another advanced player, and we just it prolonged a very long time because he would not let me win at my own game. But yeah, anywhere from 20 minutes to, I would say, an hour tops, but if people are really pushing it, it's only happened once, but an hour and a half is the most I've played.
Okay. Now, how long have you been developing the game?
This game, it's been in development for about 2 years. I did originally, as you know, I had was making cards of creation before this one, and that was 3 years, and I still use the same, it's still the same concept, like the same lore and the same every like creatures and whatever. It's just a different game.
Okay, makes sense.
So I would like to say 5 years, but Exaltia has only existed for 2.
Okay. Do you share any similarities with other TCGs that you know of? I know you mentioned the shields essentially is kind of like Duel Masters.
Yeah, I've never played Duel Masters before, but I get told a lot that it's like Duel Masters. I think there's another game called Kaijudo that's very close to Duel Masters as well.
I believe it's essentially the same game. I think
that's what I was understanding too. Yeah.
Essentially like the Exaltia to, Cards of Creation.
Yeah, yeah. I do believe they have a shield system. And I don't think it's one of those pre-existing ones where you go through your deck and you pick all of your oracles and then you put them in order or whatever. It's still the shield system, but I believe it's different than theirs.
Okay.
And I would say just some of the things like creature abilities could be similar to Magic. But other than that, I'd like to say that my game is very unique on its own. There are too many similarities with other games.
Okay. Now, do you have a 5-year plan? Like, what do you see Exaltia doing in 5 years?
I would love to see Exaltia in the hands of every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. In 5 years, that's what I would like. We all know that's not going to happen because not even that many people play Magic, but I would love to have just a place, and maybe not on the Game Crafter, where people can buy my game let's just say cheaper price. We all know the Game Crafter kind of rips you off a little bit, I would absolutely love to have my product at just say any store. I would like it to be professional instead of just an indie game. Okay. I think a lot of people push towards just having their games out there and then that's it. Well, when it's out there, like, I would like push past an indie game and then be a professional one. what I would like to see in about 5 years.
Okay. So that being said, with it being more professional, do you have any plans for hosting events for your card game, such as like tournaments, or maybe in the future, like its own convention and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, man. I'm going to start smaller. But I would like to do I want to do kind of half-assed tournament at my hometown in St. Thomas. Oh yeah, I'm Canadian, if anybody doesn't know that. So I live Ontario, in Ontario, Canada. Little tiny train town called St. Thomas. There's a wonderful store called Fan of the Sport, which is where my TCG journey began, when I spent every last dollar I had on Magic cards. He's a very good friend of mine, the store owner there, and what I would like to do is I want to do a tournament there for my first big reveal kind of deal, and record that, throw that on YouTube, and then I would like to do some tabletop simulator tournaments and stuff like that. And I'm also gonna be doing some live stream weekly, so that'll be good too. I have lots of plans. Those are the only set in stone ones I have right now.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the Game Crafter. I'm assuming that people can buy it on the Game Crafter. Is there anywhere else they can buy your card game?
Yep, just Game Crafter right now. Unless you know me personally, I can like hand deliver it to you. Game Crafter right now is the only way you can buy my game.
Okay, and
to change that eventually.
Yeah, makes sense. And for everyone listening right now, the link to his game, the Game Crafter link, will be in the description, so make sure to check that out. Now, you did mention Tabletop Simulator. Do you have an active demo that people can download and test out the game on that, as well as other places?
I do not. Reason being, because I went through this, would say a phase. Well, not really a phase. I got very tired of my development of my game, and I was like, there was just something missing for my game, and I was like, you know, yeah, put on your big boy pants, put on your thinking cap, and get stuff done. So I decided to re-release my game with a finished template. It hasn't changed drastically or anything like that, but all the information that will ever need to be on the card is going to be perfectly fit into that template. I'm sorry, what was the question?
If you have a demo on Tabletop Simulator or any other.
Okay, good. With the release of Set 7, probably beforehand, actually, when all the cards are done anyways, and I haven't even put them up yet, I will have a working demo of my game on Tabletop Simulator.
Awesome. Now, are you going to have more sets in the future? If so, how often do you plan on releasing a set?
Oh, right. So, at the beginning of my game, sets were a little weird. I would just create them as the game goes on. I didn't really have a set time limit. I would just create a set. I would release that set. So that would be the set one. And then I would create set two, throw that one out. So as I created sets, I would throw them out, but then I decided that I should be a set ahead instead. So I would create set four, release set three. Create set five, release set four. What I want to do now is I'd like to release one set quarterly, so one set every 4 months.
Okay, that's a pretty good time. Okay, that makes sense. I was gonna say, I think yes. The average is like maybe once a year, once every four months.
Yeah. My cards don't go out of date, so all cards are usable at all times unless they get ridiculous. then I have only banned one card so far, which I have no idea why I made that card in the first place. But no cards will be out of date. Reprints will always be made to cards that are the most played. Tend not to see too many reprints of cards that aren't very good.
Okay. Now, you mentioned one card that you don't know why you made, and it's ridiculous. What card would that be, and what does it do?
All right. So, I have my Oracle system. There's only five. You got five life, or technically six, but you have five Oracles on the field. And if you destroy, say, three of those, and I just pull out this uncommon card that I have three copies of in my deck called Oracle Resurrection, and it just resurrects an Oracle.
Oh.
It's not, that ain't right. I don't think that's right.
Have you thought about making it?
I've thought of different ways about going about that other than just resurrect an Oracle. There's very strong creatures with really cool abilities that are like, when this creature dies, resurrect an Oracle, or you gotta do this, and this to resurrect an Oracle. I made it a little harder to do. So you'd have to be a little more strategic than, all right, I got three copies of this and I'm just gonna prolong the game a little bit. There's no saying you can't play that card. That card is banned in tournament play. Still use it.
Okay.
I'm not ever going to make a reprint of it, but you can still use it.
Cool. Well, you answered my next question on is it banned or not?
Yes, sir. So, very much so.
Understandable. Are you going to have rarities in your game? If so, what are the rarities and the percentages to obtain those? Right. I would leave the other question next.
All right, so rarities. So they range from common, uncommon, rare, and prime. That is it. There was only four rarities. And what you would see in a pack, where is the numbers? Okay, so I think you'll have like six or seven commons. I'm just doing some quick math here. Set seven is going to be the biggest set I've ever released. So the way they're going to start working from set seven on is you're guaranteed a rare in every pack, and you're guaranteed six or seven commons and a few like five uncommons. One rare. I have an information card, which is basically a business card in all my packs now, just to get people to go over to my website. Not a lot of people go to my YouTube channel because I'm not very good at YouTube videos anymore, but I have one of those, and set seven will be guaranteed a prime rarity in every single pack. So you're going to get a good card every single pack.
Okay. And now, what do you think, or what is the rarest card in your game?
The rarest card in my...
What's your goals for a rarest card, if you have one?
Well, since set 7, you're guaranteed any rare card, or you're guaranteed any prime rarity card. I would say Helios. Helios is probably Helios the Unfathomed. It's like my favorite card. I wouldn't say there's no. Every card has a counter in my game, so there's no this is the best card in the game, and I win kind of deal.
Yeah.
But Helios the Unfathomed. He destroys every single card in play. So I would say he's probably the best one to have.
Okay. Yeah. Now,
at Timeless Knight. He's a rare, but he's a really good card too, and he's gonna become, he has a reprint of him in every single set because he's my iconic character.
Okay. Now, what's your favorite AAA title, like, card game? If you know what I mean.
Ooh. Like legit ones?
Yeah, like the big ones, the ones that everyone knows, the ones Magic. That are sold at, like, okay.
Yeah, Magic is, was where I started. I love the concept of Yu-Gi-Oh!, but I could never get into it because that is to me, it's just the biggest money grab ever, and power creep is just not my thing. So I think Magic would probably be my favorite. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I understand the power creep for sure. Now, what's your favorite non-AAA card game? Like an HTCG?
You're talking HTCG, huh? All right. Well, I don't want to leave. I have a few. For different reasons. With the way it's working right now with me is my main focus is just on my game, so I don't really play other people's games. I'll play them, like, I can play them online, like Tabletop Simulator or anything like that, but I can't physically just buy everybody's game to play it because I don't have anybody to play with. I live in a city with no, I don't have any friends here, so I can't play it. But I love, and I am, Cogs of War was my like, looking at it was just so appealing. I love mechanical stuff like robots, and every single card was a robot, and Cogs of War was my favorite one to collect. Now I liked to collect, but also I had planned on playing Dom Rhapsody, but again, still didn't have any friends to play with. But that game is just, it's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And I couldn't pass up buying some of that stuff. She puts a lot of time and effort into her game. So, Illumisant Souls Legends, that's a really, really unique game too. But there's a game that's coming out that I'm looking forward to collecting and playing, which is a Tainted Legacy trading card game. It's made by my friend Scott. I have two friends that are named Scott. But my overall favorite one to play, I did play Skyscape. I love that, but nothing beats Pixicree, man. That game, without, like, I don't want to make this video all about you, man. I don't, because this one's about me. But I love your game. I love it so much.
Well,
it was just like when I pick it up, and I didn't know what I was doing, and then by the end of the game, I was like, okay, I win. I want to do this again, and then we did it again.
And you won.
I win. And I was like, okay, yep, I grasped the concept. Like, within the first game, and I was able to build a deck and play it just right then and there, and it was amazing. Best experience I've had with playing a trading card game in a while. So yeah, it was fun.
Well, sweet, thanks for the shout out in your own interview.
Yeah, not a problem.
Now,
I'm not trying to kiss ass or anything. Not trying to kiss ass. I'm just saying that you made a good game. That's all.
Appreciate it. And there would be no reason to kiss ass anyway, because you've already made the interview, so.
That's true, yeah.
Going ahead and kind of coming to a conclusion, is there anything else you'd like to say or plug before we go ahead and hop off?
Yeah. If anybody is wanting to check out anything that has to do with my game, there is a lot of stuff spread about the internet, but everything, links to everything you can find on my website, which will also be in some description.
Yep.
Somewhere for them.
Yes,
to
it will.
On. Yes. All right. So everything related to Exaltia Trading Card Game will be on my website. It's easily accessible. Everything's readable. Very basic. Shouldn't be too difficult. Yeah.
Alrighty, and once again, this is the developer of Exaltia TCG, and I'm Zyphine, your host. Hope y'all enjoyed this podcast. If so, check us out for next week.